burden-free. God, on the contrary, Lord, you tell us to come to you with our burdens. Lord, that we should give you our burdens. We should give them to you, Lord. We should take upon ourselves, Lord, your burden. For your burden is light. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you care for us. Lord, you love us in you. You reach out for us. You pursue us, Lord. Lord, thank you that even now you are pursuing us. We glorify your name, Lord. Lord, as we open up your word right now, God, I pray that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our souls, Lord. Lord, that we would understand ourselves better than we ever have before. But more importantly, Lord, we would understand your will for our lives. And we would understand that you care for us, that only you is what matters, Lord, not the things that we care so deeply about. Lord, I pray for freedom this morning. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Illuminate your word to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks, guys. Good morning once again. Those of you who are new, welcome to the Church of Whistling Pines. My name is Sean McCracken. I'm the lead pastor here, and we are going through series Sermon on the Mount. And this morning, it's one of those times that kind of lends itself to a topical type of a message. We go verse by verse in an expository way through Scripture. And this morning we're talking about worry. Show of hands, don't be ashamed, I'll lift mine as well. How many people deal with worry? Hey, all right. Okay, so, oh, come on, somebody shout me down. Some of you guys were like really waving it, like, that's me. So this is one of those that like if I asked how many people deal with lust, some of you really want to raise your hand, but you don't really want to raise your hand because it's kind of shameful. It's kind of, will somebody see me? This is one of those that is kind of accepted. In fact, it's more than accepted. It's assumed, and in some ways, it's kind of just lessened. We think it's really no big deal. It's almost like telling a white lie. It's like if my wife asked me, does this dress make me look fat? What am I supposed to say, right? I mean, no matter what I think, I'm supposed to say, no, honey. And it never does because she looks lovely. She looks amazing. All of those kind of things, right? But, you know, it's one of those kind of things. You couldn't blame somebody for maybe stretching the truth, you know? And so we kind of think of worry in the same way. We think of it as like, if there is a pantheon of sins, we think of it on the lesser end of sins, right? Right? I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. I think that is extremely dangerous. If I could be really, really deadly serious, so dangerous that we wink at worry. We tend to just think it's no big deal. We'll get through it. We'll get past it. Everybody deals with it. It's no big deal. It's just part of life. It's not like I murdered anybody. It's not like I was even talking about anybody. I'm just worried about something. No big deal. I could do so much worse. Man, we're going to talk this morning why it is so detrimental to our walk with the Lord. Okay, you ready for that? So before we get started, I want to write on the board, just so we get an idea. And now you're like, well, shoot, after saying that, I'm not going to open my mouth. No, for real. We've all raised our hand. We all deal with worry. So what are some of the things that we worry about? What are some of the things that we stress over, that we're anxious about? Some of us, not all of us. Okay, sure, our hair. Looks, Okay? Again, looks. Oh, money, 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 money. Money, good. Kid, somebody say kids. Kids, children, good, good. What else? Work, future. Work, future. School. Health, yeah, absolutely. Health is a good one. So, you know, we believe God can heal, but will he? And this pain that I woke up with, what if it's something serious? Just as an aside, this is just how worry happens. And we're going to talk about concern and what concern is. And concern is not a wrong thing. Sometimes we do need to be concerned. So I'm not saying we shouldn't. But so I woke up a few days ago with just like a pain in my leg. Like I stepped on it and was like, oh, ow, that kind of hurts. And I immediately thought of somebody that was in our church who broke his leg, didn't know what it was or anything, went into the hospital and realized that he had bone cancer and quickly died thereafter. Yeah, and so my first thought that came into my mind when my leg kind of buckled a little bit and it kind of hurt was, what if it's bone cancer? And I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just saying this is how our thoughts work. And so quickly I can start worrying like, oh, great. Dealing with everything else I'm dealing with, now I've got bone cancer. Right? I mean, so this is just how worry works. So, yeah, health is a good one. What else, guys? Spouses, yes. Especially if you've got a spouse like me. No, I'm kidding. C or S, thank you. I always make that mistake. Appreciate that. Didn't want to write it, and then everybody, like, laugh at me. Oh, what people think. What people think of us. What people think of us is huge. I don't want to say anything because somebody might laugh. I don't want to do something because somebody might think I'm an idiot or not smart enough or not be able to spell spouse, and they would be right. I always mess up spouse. But it's okay. You have one of those words too. I know you do. Okay, what else? Bills. Goes with money, but it's different. Bills. Yes, I'm going to capitalize it. It's huge. We worry about, how am I going to pay the electric bill? How am I going to pay the rent bill? How am I going to pay the mortgage bill? Yes, good. What else? A few more. Feed, family. Yes, so food. Food. It's good. Safety, society. Safety. Did somebody say lice? Lights. Oh, okay. Hey, I worry about lice sometimes, you know. Safety, society, yeah, good. Especially anymore. Oh, okay. We'll end with that. Thank you. Everything. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like a joke, but you know, sometimes when we've got it bad, we can just start worrying about absolutely everything. No rhyme, no reason. It may not even be something that we normally would worry about, but suddenly we find out that anything anybody brings up, we start to worry about it. How are we going to do it? How are we going to make ends meet? How are we going to look presentable? How are we going to get ahead? How am I going to get a job? How am I going to get a new position in my job? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to get better? Will I always have this cold? Will I always have this infection? Whatever the case may be, worry is a part of who we are. And again, the world says everybody does that. And unfortunately, the church kind of says the same thing. It says, well, you know, it's not a good thing. Certainly want to come over that. You know, want to, Jesus, in Jesus' name, you need to rise above that. But, you know, everybody deals with it. It's no big deal. And it's a big deal. So if you're in your Bibles, or could you please get in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to finish chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. Verse 25, chapter 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. It's Jesus speaking. I'm working on my dramatic pauses. You like it? Yeah? Okay. No, yeah. Thinking of taking up another offering. Verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. when you're reading through Scripture, there's certain key words that you need to be aware of. Therefore is one of them. When you see therefore, what should it automatically trigger? What should it ask? What is it therefore? Thank you. When you see therefore, it should make you ask, what is it therefore? Therefore is linking this next section that we're reading, verse 25. Most of our Bibles have it in a new section with a new heading. My heading is Do Not Worry, but it is linked to the section before it. It's all one complete thought. It's all the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is talking. He may have taken a breath, but it's still the same thought, and so it's linked to that. It's linked to everything that we talked about 2 weeks ago. Remember, last week was Easter. We took a break from the Sermon on the Mount, but 2 weeks ago we talked about do not store for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That we could be stocking the wrong shelves, that we can be so concerned with things on this earth, with having the most toys, with having the most possessions, with making sure that we're comfortable and entertained and having the nicest things and things that in and of themselves are not evil, they're not wrong, doesn't make you a bad person, doesn't make you less than a Christian. But when our focus is on those things and the things that we treasure, keyword treasure, instead of just possess or have, that's the key issue. And so Jesus is saying, therefore, do not worry. He's linking to that section. So it's important that we understand it's all one thought. He's saying, listen, it's not all about this earth. It's about heaven. It's not about just the temporal things that we're going through. It's about eternity. So he says, therefore. But then Jesus anticipates the obvious question. Do you remember we read through it? And you probably had the same question 2 weeks ago. And we really didn't focus on it. Because maybe there was a part of you that was almost ashamed that that question came up in you. But it's okay, because it surely did in the disciples. It surely did in me, and it surely did in you. And that was, okay, I understand that. You shouldn't focus too much on it, but shouldn't you focus a little bit on it? I mean, don't you have to have stuff here on this earth? Don't you have to pay the bills? Don't you have to feed the kids? In our society, don't you have to go to work? Is he saying everybody should be vagabonds and go around and be like the Son of Man and have no place to lay his head? Is that what Jesus is saying? So the obvious question is, what about the things that I need? And that's his obvious the obvious question. So he's like, basically, Paul, the Apostle Paul does this in most of his writings, but particularly the book of Romans, where he'll kind of answer a question that wasn't asked. And so he says, therefore, I'm telling you all this stuff, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. So the thing that you're worrying about right now, like, okay, cool, I won't focus too much on it, but what about the things I need? He's like, whoa, just don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Worry is more than concern, it's obsessive concern. There's nothing wrong with concern. In fact, we need to be concerned. We need to go to work. We need to be concerned to pay the bills. We need to go to work to feed our children. Scripture, multiple times in the Old Testament and the New Testament, says, if we do not want to work, we should not eat. That doesn't mean that if you're not able to work, you can't eat. It does not say that. It's if you're able-bodied, basically, and you do not want to work, you should not eat. From the very beginning in the book of Genesis, from the fall, one of the conditions of the fall was man would work by the sweat of his brow. And so it was worked up as part of the condition of being man that he would work. And we should be concerned. Scripture is full of his commandments that we are to follow. In order to follow commandments, we should have concern. We should take it seriously. There's nothing wrong with taking something seriously. However, being obsessed about it and being concerned in our focus on those things instead of the provider of those things, that's the issue that Jesus wants to put front and center in front of us this morning. Are we willing to focus on those things this morning? Are we willing to maybe look inside of us and say, wow, maybe I've been looking at the wrong thing. Because there's something in us. Jose, what you said this morning before offering was amazing. The condition of the gospel shows us the condition, or excuse me, the gospel shows us the condition of our hearts. Amazing. I would say also that this shows us the condition of our hearts as well. That if we're just focused on the things that we don't have and may not be able to have, and why can't we, then we're focused on those things instead of who can provide those things. And so it's an issue of focus and that of priorities. We're going to get to verse 33 where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's about focus and about priorities. And this is what encapsulates what he's trying to say. All right, so you might ask, well, why do we do this then? First, it's the human condition. What is the human condition? Sin. It's sin. So that's why it's natural to do this. You ain't wrong. And I know ain't isn't wrong, isn't a word. You ain't wrong to say that's natural. It is natural, but it's not supernatural. It's not what a born-again person should be doing, myself included. It's natural to just worry because it's of the flesh. It's of sin. So let's keep reading. I believe this section will show us reasons why we worry and reasons why we should not worry. And then if we can apply this to our lives, I believe we can find freedom from worry. Do you believe that? Now, that's a bold statement. That's like, worry is something that is just so universal to all of us. Every single person raised their hands. I believe if I asked everybody in every church across America if they worry, everybody would raise their hands. It's universal to all of us. So is it too bold to believe that we can find freedom this morning? I don't believe so either, because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, it's always going to be at your door. It's always going to be knocking. It's always going to be tempting. But we can overcome it. We can find freedom this morning. Do you want that? Can you imagine a life free of worry? Can you imagine a life where you realize I do have freedom in worry and I just have to keep fighting that temptation? Isn't that better than just continuing to succumb to it and saying, well, you know, I don't smoke, drink, and cuss and hang out with anybody who does, but man, I do worry. That's kind of like, that's my vice. Wouldn't it be great to say, I don't deal with that anymore in Jesus' name? Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, let's read together. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Is the body not more important than food? Food is the most important, water and food, things that make this body function are the most important things to continue to keep living. And he's saying basically this. What's important about that if you're not serving the Lord? You're keeping this body going for what? For what reason? Do you remember when they were the disciples were trying to feed Jesus, like an old grandma or something, saying, here, you got to eat. You got to eat, Jesus. And he's saying, my food is to do the will of the Father. He was saying right then and there, he's not saying that he'll never eat. He did eat, but he was trying to let them know, listen, there's something more important than food, and that's to do the will of the Father. So the first reason is in the word worry itself. The Greek word worry is merimneo, and it's formed from two root words, divided and mind. The first reason that we worry is we have a divided mind. We worry because we have a divided mind. I want to remind you, this is still in context. Remember the word therefore. In context, remember what he was talking about. He was saying the eye is the lamp of the body, verse 22 of chapter 6. If your eyes are good, remember that word is haplois, and it's singleness of vision. So this whole context, he's saying, listen, you need to have singleness of vision. You cannot be double-minded. And so now he's saying, do not worry, and that Greek word means do not be double-minded. When we are double-minded, we worry. I know God can provide all my needs, but how is it going to happen? What do I have to do? Oh, my dear Jesus, the deadline is tomorrow. What's going to happen? It's double-minded. We say we have faith, but actually it's we believe that the concept is true, that God can do it, but we don't really believe he can or that he will. We're double-minded. And the second thing is, again, the word therefore. And it links not just to the section, but to the verse before it. Read with me verse 24 again. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So therefore, links to verse 24 that we just read. It implies that worry is actually serving money, or it certainly has that connotation. So worry is being double-minded, and worry is actually serving money. Serving money or the things that money buys. Money buys food and safety and all of these things, health and hair and good looks. It takes a lot of money to look this good. Let me just tell you that right now. There's a lot of truth to this, and that's why he's saying, listen, do not be so overly concerned with money, and then he goes into do not worry. They're linked together. They're not separated. Let's continue to read verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? That's something we didn't put on there, but death. Death is something that we worry about. It's probably something that tends to come up in me, not myself, but like what happens to one of my loved ones, those kind of things. All of these kind of thoughts. Notice, I'm going to say this a lot today. It's thoughts. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Homework. Read that over and over and over and over and over again. Paul is talking about our thoughts when he says, do not be anxious for anything, but through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then the next verse he says, and think about these things, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is noble. It's about our thoughts. It's about our thought life. That's what causes worry, is our thought life, the things that we're actually thinking about. And so that's one of them, is death. We think about death. How can I escape death? How can I go further in life? How can I add an extra day to my life? Or what will happen? Or am I ready to meet my master? And we have to put all of these things in his hands. We have to. That's part of not worrying, is saying, I can't control it. You can. Reasons we worry is we try to take control. It's in us. It's in our genes as sinful flesh born into the human race. We try to take control. The opposite of faith is worry. And worry's ugly, snaggletoothed sister is control. We control the situation. We control the narrative. We control our thoughts. We control what happens. We're the boss. It's a lordship issue. It's a lordship issue. Why are we worried? Because we're not looking at our Lord. We're looking at the situation. We're looking at the problem. We're looking at the bill. We're looking at the health issue. We're looking at the future. We're looking at the school. We're looking at everything. We're looking at the spouse. We're looking at what people think. We're looking at those things, and we're not looking at our Lord. It's a lordship issue. It's a control issue. We think if we can focus enough on these things, we can plan enough for them. There's nothing wrong with planning. I'm a planner. But we feel like we can obsess enough about these, i.e. worry, that somehow, some way, we can make them happen. All the while, this has somehow, some way, become more of a God than our Lord. Even if it's just in that situation, and we don't think of it as our Lord, we're not putting our safety and security or our bills or our food up on this altar in our bedroom and putting pillows down and lighting candles and worshiping it. It's not that. It's our time and it's our thoughts and it's our effort and it's what we do with our time and in our energy and our work and everything else. We try to take control. Who of you, verse 27, by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? That phrase, O you or O ye of little faith, is used four times in the book of Matthew, once in the book of Luke. It's important that we understand what he's saying here. He's not chastising them and saying, you'll never get it. You're stupid. You're ignorant. No, he's saying, your faith is too small. He's encouraging them. And he's also saying then also that your faith can increase. So why do we worry? We have little faith. Our faith is small. It's something we need to work on. It's something we need to realize combats worry. Again, I believe it's the opposite of worry, and that's faith. Romans 14, 23 says, anything that is not of faith is sin. Anything that is not of faith is sin. In Hebrews 11, it says that only faith is what pleases God. We want to please God. We so desperately want to please God, and it's only through faith. Not faith in money or faith in school or faith in anything that I can do to shape my future. It's faith that he can shape my future. It's shape that he can give me the ability to make money to shape my future. Our priorities and our focus is wrong. It's upside down, and that's why we get upset and we get worried and we get anxious and we try to obsess about all of these things, because sometimes we feel like we're losing time. We think it's already too late. The bill is already due. We should have already been trusting God, but we didn't. And so now there's no time. And that's a lie of the enemy. There's never no time. No matter how old we are, how long or we've been away from the Lord, there's never no time. Somebody needs to hear that. Okay, verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The pagans run after these things. The pagans, those that do not know God, run after these things. What does that mean? Does that mean that if I have a concern about paying my bill, I'm a pagan and I don't know God? No. We're supposed to be concerned about these things. I want to refresh our memory about that. It's when we're obsessed about this, when we're worried about this, when this is taken full focus and God is not in focus, then we are like the pagan in that we're not trusting a God that cares for us. We're like a pagan that does not know a God that cares for them. Okay, now I want to talk through some things through these scriptures we just read of reasons why we shouldn't worry. Number one, God commands it. It's not a suggestion. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry. He didn't say, let me suggest to you. It's a good idea if you didn't worry. Oh, I know. Your life might be a little easier if you didn't worry. It's, I tell you, do not worry. It is a command. He commands it. He commands it. So if he commands it and we do not do it and we worry, what does that mean? It means worry is a sin. Right? Worry is a sin. Yeah, but it's not the same as if I hurt somebody. I'm only hurting myself. It's a sin. a sin. Worry is a sin. Why is it a sin? Because we're focused on the power of something else instead of the power of our God. And that's always a sin. Always and forevermore. Number three, God cares for his people even more than he does for his own creation. And he goes through this about the lilies of the field that they neither labor nor spin. He talks about the birds of the air. He talks about all of these creatures and creations that he has made, that he's wonderfully made. Basically, the things that we look at as insignificant. And this morning, maybe you look at yourself as insignificant. And particularly when we're in need of money, or we're having problems with our kids or at work, or what people think of us, and we think of ourselves as insignificant. And what a great reminder is there is no such thing as anybody insignificant to God. And if God can care for grass that is just here one day and gone the other, how much more does he care for you? And if he cares that much for even the grass of the field that will soon be burned, he cares for you. He cares. God is not just some cosmic God that sits on a throne, that is immovable, that has no feelings, that has no concern for his creation. He cares. Number four, he knows what we need. He knows. He is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He knows before you ask him. He still wants us to ask. He still wants that relationship. It's the same thing, like I have an adult son and I want him to be able to tell me things that are going on in his life. I want that open communication. Some things I want him to keep to himself, but for the most part, I want him to tell me the things that he needs. You know, money, ask somebody else, but you get the point though, right? I mean, same thing with God, but he already knows. He already knows. So it's not like, oh my gosh, I'm going to tell God because, man, God thought everything was going well with my kids and how am I going to tell him it's not? God doesn't know? I mean, what are we thinking? Why do we hide things from him? Why do we think we do an okey-doke to him? Like, we're like, hey, he's not going to find this one. God knows what we need. It has happened. God knows. God knows that it froze. He knew that from the creation of the world. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." Yeah, hallelujah is right. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He will supply all of your needs according to his riches. Not according to yours, not according to mine, according to his. We need to remember these things. And it's according to his time. And I've heard this before, and it's bared out true in my life so many times. He's never late, but he's also seldom early. He's always on time. He's an on-time God. Sometimes I wish he was early, but he's not because he knows best, because he knows. All right, hey, we're having an adventure today. The fifth thing I wanted to point out was verse 32. Verse 32, again, says, "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." That worry is a form of idolatry. We may not think of it that way, but it's idolatry. Remember, if we look at the power of one of these instead of the power of our Lord, is that not idolatry? Are we not looking at our bills as a powerful God? Now you might say, whoa, 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 that's a little much. Again, I'm not worshiping it. I'm not lighting candles to it. No, but we're attributing power to it. We're attributing sustenance to it. We're attributing far more weight to it than it has, and far less weight to God than he deserves. And it's a form of idolatry. 6, it's harmful. The pagans run after these things. It's harmful to our witness. We look like pagans. If we're worried about things all of the time, we look like we don't serve God. Did you realize that? It's also harmful to your health. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I know enough to know that worry and stress and anxiety is what causes heart issues and stress and all of these kind of things in the human body, but also spiritually speaking. If worry is the opposite of faith, and the only way to please God is through faith, and I'm focused on worry, it sounds pretty harmful to me spiritually. Now, I want to go back to what I said at the beginning. If we want to just wink at worrying and think it's no big deal and I'm not going to cast it out of my life, it's not like stealing or lying or cheating or lusting or any of those biggies, then we really have an issue if we're continuing to just embrace worry. If we're continuing to just act like it's no big deal, then we have embraced a lie of the enemy. We are deceived. Do you see now why you might be deceived? Why I might be deceived? Because if I'm not having a faithful relationship with Jesus Christ, faithfully believing that he can provide my needs according to his riches and glory, and worried that I need to do something, then there is something wrong. And there's idolatry in my life. It's harmful. And the last thing, worry does not change anything. Verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? It does not change. So we can worry all day long that we'll have enough to pay the bills, that we'll have a better relationship with our kids, that work is better, our future, safety, health, all of these kind of things we can worry all day long, and it does not change anything for the positive, only for the negative. It's not only has this stuff not changed, but instead, it's been harmful to us physically and spiritually and emotionally and relationally. This is the stuff that breaks up marriages more than infidelity. Did you know that? What breaks up marriages more than infidelity is worry and stress and money issues and these kind of things. It's harmful. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All these things will be given to you as well. Now first, let me say, I do not believe that it's a cause and effect promise. I don't believe it is an incantation. Don't believe that it's saying, okay, as soon as you check the box that you seek first the kingdom of God, then it unlocks this magical door that all of this can be yours. I don't believe that that's what he's saying. I believe he's saying is there's an order to this. Seek first his kingdom, then this stuff. So let's talk about the word seek. The verb really means continually seek. So continually seek, keep seeking, not just one time seek. And that's what we tend to do. I sought him, I asked him into my heart one time, we were good, it went forward, and now the next thing happens. It's seek continually. The other thing is it has the idea of try to obtain. So it really makes more sense. It's not like he's changing direction. He's like, okay, cool, everybody good? We talked about worry? Okay, now I want to shift direction here, and I want to talk about seeking first his kingdom. That's not what he's doing. Basically, he's saying you're trying to obtain all of the things that you're worried about. I want you to try to obtain his kingdom. And that's what he's saying. You're seeking after all of this. No, seek after his kingdom. First, Go after it continually. Don't stop. Keep going after it. Don't stop. Can I tell you, when I worry, it's when I stop seeking his kingdom. You stop seeking his kingdom? Yeah, I don't want to. I'm ashamed to admit that. It's a continual basis. It's not just a daily basis. It's continual. It's second by second, moment by moment. It's broken, my dear. Keep going after him. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness means God's way, not our way. God's way, not our way. That's what's important. So he's saying, seek first his kingdom. His kingdom, again, is he's the king. It's his domain, kingdom. His kingdom. He's the king. It's his domain. And his way, not our way. This is our way. This is why we worry. This is why we fret. This is why we're anxious. This is why we're fretting about things, because it's our way. And he's saying, go after things my way. And when you do that, then this stuff will open up to you. Then this stuff is according to the riches in my glory, not according to yours. Thanks, Kathy. You're the best. And if we do that, there'll be neither time nor need to be anxious. If we're going after him constantly, we don't have time or need to be so focused about our future, because, number one, he's already revealing our future to us because he's constantly talking to us if we're constantly going after him. And if we're constantly going after him, we're not wrapped up in all of this free time to worry about these things. This is what he's trying to convey to us, is stop with your free time focused on nasty, stupid, idiotic, destructive thoughts. Focus your thoughts on me. It's the correct order. It's the correct order. I'll give you another example in Scripture. In Galatians 5:16, it says this, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." This is cause and effect. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. The way we read this, even though it's in the correct order, even with the highlighting, we still tend to read it this way. If I want to live by the Spirit, then I can't gratify the desires of my sinful nature. That's not what it says. It says, live by the Spirit, and you won't gratify your sinful nature. Cause and effect. Live by the Spirit, and this won't happen. We are wrapped up in, okay, I want to live for God so desperately, so I need to stop worrying. I want to live for God so desperately, so I need to stop gratifying the desires of my sinful nature, whatever they may be. And it's probably a laundry list of things, including worrying, so that I can get closer to God. And that's not the ticket. God says, come closer to me, live by the Spirit, and that won't happen. Live by the Spirit, and you won't have time or effort or energy or want to worry. Focus on me. Elsewhere it says, in James, I believe it says, draw close to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, resist the enemy. There's an order. There's a divine order there. First, we draw close to God. And we've missed it. We've missed it. Last one, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So first of all, tomorrow does have trouble. No, it's good to know that Scripture isn't like, whoa, I didn't know that. I thought as soon as I followed Christ, and especially Pastor Sean, you said, you know, you go after God and all these things will be added unto you. No. It doesn't work like that. He's not a cosmic genie up there, and he grants you three wishes, and one of your wishes is 1,000 more wishes. No. He tells you tomorrow has trouble. Even in the scripture, tomorrow has trouble. So that's the first thing that we see. Tomorrow has trouble. But he also says this, worry about tomorrow. And it keeps us, because if we're worried about tomorrow, it keeps us from exercising faith in today. It keeps us from today. If we're so focused on tomorrow, focused on what happens if this doesn't work, then we're not focused on, God, I believe this is going to work today. I believe you that this is working in my life now. And it's not about the right words. It's about the right belief. It's about the right faith. It's about exercising that belief. It's not about the cognitive knowledge that God can. It's about the solid belief, the solid trust that he will. I want us to do something. Could I have the worship team come up? And as they're coming up, I want us to do something. I've shared this multiple times before. It's something that's one of the most meaningful things to me personally. And so that's why you've probably heard it multiple times. A few weeks ago, we through the Sermon on the Mount, we talked about prayer, and one of them was, he was saying, listen, you don't have to do vain repetition. And we talked about, he's not saying don't repeat yourself. He's saying vain repetition. In other words, it's vain. It's not anything that you mean. It's just words. This needs to be something you mean, and this is something that I mean because I have to remind myself, and I truly mean it to God. And I say a phrase to him all of the time. And I want us to say that only if you mean it. If you don't mean it, don't say it. You know, do the, do whatever. Just don't say anything. Don't do that because I'd be rude. Just don't say anything. But I say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Guys, just making an agreement today that, you know what, I'm not going to worry anymore doesn't automatically make these things go away. I realize that. Jesus realizes this. That's why he said, therefore, do not worry. He knows that these things still exist. But what does also exist is Jesus. And just say, God, these things still exist. I still have to pay my electric bill tomorrow. It's still due. I don't know what to do, but I trust you. And that's also not to say that he's not going to tell you to do something, that he's not going to ask you to ask your uncle or to go to day ready labor or whatever it's called and see if you can work or to go put your application in somewhere or... It's not that he's not going to tell you to do something, but it's that you're trusting him and you're not just worried. So it's, Lord, I trust you. The God who knows about tomorrow. God knows about tomorrow. He knows about tomorrow. He knows about the electric bill. He knows about the problem you're facing. He knows about the relationship with your kid. He knows about your marriage. He knows. Will you practice that with me? God, I trust you. Just out of your own mouth, whether it's silently, whether it's a whisper, whether it's in your own heart, whether it's out loud, whether you have to scream it, whether that's what your faith needs, whatever it is. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Lord, with my health, I trust you. Trust you, Lord. Even when I don't see any signs, I trust you. I trust you, God. I trust you, Lord. Now I want to ask you something. Does that bring any excitement to you? It should. It's exciting that we don't have to worry anymore, that we can trust in him. Why don't you stand to your feet? And I'm going to do something daring. It's so daring to me. You just have no idea how daring it is to me. It might be equally daring to you too. I want you to be excited and say, I trust you. And I'm personally, oh God, it's so daring. I'm going to dance when I say I trust you, okay? Not for you. Trust me, not for you, because this right here. I'm overcoming that right now. In Jesus' name. All right. I trust you. I trust you. Okay, that's enough.